Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. Dial 678-ESOG now for a solution to your foundation and waterproofing problems.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I want to pick up on the start of today's program where we kind of began yesterday. The point we made yesterday, and I think this is just undeniably true, that for one of the dominant narratives that's out there during the preseason, that Kirby Smart's a great recruiter and he's built great talent at Georgia, but Dan Mullen's a better game coach, and eventually that superior in-game coaching skills, that ability to get more out of lesser talent, will eventually allow Florida to overtake Georgia, maybe this year in the SEC East, and maybe kind of over the course of the long haul there as well, that Dan Mullen's coaching strategic ability, or as was it Will Ferrell said on Saturday Night Live many years ago, his strategery, Dan Mullen's strategery is just so good that eventually he's going to be proven as, you know, the best coach in the SEC East, among the best coaches in the SEC, and Kirby Smart will be relegated to guy who acquires talent, but what does he really do with it when he gets it? And we explained yesterday that if you kind of believe that about Mullen, it's going to be very hard to argue that beyond 2020 if Mullen doesn't win that game this year, Halloween, in Jacksonville against Georgia. He's got the experience at quarterback. He's been in the top 10 the last couple of years. This would seem to be the culmination of everything that he's been trying to build there at Florida. If he doesn't win this year, then I don't want to hear another thing about Dan Mullen, because this is the year all that's supposed to be true. However, I did acknowledge this yesterday, even though I've kind of made my living being a Gator hater and kind of touting the Georgia-Florida rivalry. We do that for fun around here. We think it's kind of fun to have a rival to pick at and poke at, and we don't mind it when the Gators folks come back here and do the same thing towards us. But what I said yesterday was, even as kind of the chief Gator hater, I am more than happy to acknowledge that if Mullen does break through, win the game, because pretty clearly Bud Elliott's blue chip ratio of former four and five star talent, pretty clearly Florida is well down the trough from Georgia when it comes to that right now. Pretty clearly, if Mullen takes this level of talent at Florida with the larger number of three-star players than is present at Georgia, if you win that game this season, I think you've got to give at least some credence to that argument of, you know what, maybe Mullen is a game coach. Maybe he can coach up these lesser guys. Taking a guy like Kyle Trask, for instance, that didn't even start for his high school team. Maybe you got to give him a little bit of credit for that. I don't like Florida. I don't believe that's going to happen, but admittedly, my own argument of Kirby Smart's management of the Georgia program being superior to what Dan Mullen's doing at Florida, what anyone's done at Florida over the last few years, my own argument on that, I'll be happy to admit, if Georgia doesn't have scoreboard on its side at the end of October, my own argument takes a little bit of a bruising there as well. We talked about that obviously a lot yesterday. Let me spin the conversation forward, though, for right now, just a little bit. When you look at, and we had Stephen Lassen from Athlon Sports on the show last Thursday, and I asked him directly, you know, what's the case to be made for ranking Dan Mullen ahead of Kirby Smart on the coaches list that you put together? What's the justification for that? How do you argue for that? You can go back and listen to last Thursday's show, and you can hear, you know, from Lassen on that topic, how he explained that. And the more I kind of think about that and sort of see Mullen rated ahead of Kirby on the Athlon list, Kirby rated ahead of Mullen on the Sporting News list. We'll talk more about that later on the show. When the CBS Sports list came out, Kirby ahead of Mullen, but behind a guy like Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma, I think you start to see something else at play here that is a little deeper than just, well, the media likes Mullen, or the media is hopeful that Florida makes the SEC East a little less boring. We've said all these things before. We've talked about all those things before. But at the heart of the ongoing offseason debate, and this is sort of the classic offseason debate in many ways, at the heart of all of that, I think you have something a little deeper at play. There is a bias at work, but I don't believe it's an anti-Kirby Smart bias, and I don't believe it's an anti-UGA bias. I truly don't. Here's what I think exists. I think there's a bias against defense just a little bit. And I'll tell you all the ways in which kind of, you know, bring that to mind for me. I remember the national radio host Colin Cowherd once said something that I thought was kind of interesting. This is years ago, and I don't exactly remember the exact context he said it in. But he said, fans like watching their own team's defense, but really nobody likes watching someone else's defense. And in a roundabout way, that's kind of true. If Georgia wins a nail-biting game 17-14, that's really exciting for those of us who are UGA fans, but I could forgive a random college football fan in Chicago if he thought that 42-41 was a little bit more interesting than 17-14, because honestly, when I've got no dog in the fight, I'm a little more interested in a high-scoring game than a low-scoring game, too. I just kind of am. I like what the Kansas City Chiefs have done the last couple of years, for instance. I like some of these other, you know, big, explosive, high-powered offenses. I don't necessarily like someone else's nail-biting, low-scoring game. Case in point, if you ever like watch or listen to the Paul Feinbaum show, callers to the show, guests on the show, Feinbaum himself, there's very little talk about defense whatsoever. It's head coaches and quarterbacks. That's what mainstream college football fans care about. There's probably no better embodiment of like the median fan than maybe what goes on there on Feinbaum. You hear very little talk about defense at all. Fans just think about offense. A lot of my good friends are high school coaches. Some of them football coaches, some of them basketball coaches. And I'm always really amazed when I hear one of my friends who's a professional coach, if not at the college or, you know, professional level, still a professional coach. I'm always amazed at listening to them talk about their sport with other coaches and how they discuss things compared to how we sometimes as fans discuss all this kind of stuff. To my knowledge, and maybe your experience is different, but when I hear high school coaches talk about their sport to each other, coaches amongst coaches, the preponderance of the discussion ends up being about defense. How do you coach better defense? How do you coach defensively in a way to give yourself a chance to win the game? But if you go to the average sports bar where the beer's flowing, the bourbon's flowing, whatever else, I'm sorry, the average sports fan, now you may not be average because here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, we're catering to kind of a higher level of clientele around here. But the average fan, you know, drunk guy at a bar is talking about quarterbacks and points scored and everything else. People bet the over. They don't bet the under. Offense is just more popular. So when it comes to like evaluating Kirby Smart as a coach, I think that it's fairly well established that the thing that Smart is really good at is the kind of thing that the public just doesn't really love unless you are a fan of that school. If you like Georgia, then you love elite defense. That's obviously the side of the ball that Smart is very well known for. But if you're just some guy who wants to be entertained by watching TV on a Saturday afternoon or Saturday night, something along those lines, what Smart is brilliant at may not necessarily be the kind of thing that keeps you as entertained as some of the stuff you see in the Big 12 or west of Mississippi or wherever else. However, if you want to drill down a little further, though, given the fact that we don't tend to think of brilliant defensive coaches as smart as brilliant offensive coaches, it's important to note that when it comes to truly elite sides of the ball, being elite in one phase of the game, what Kirby Smart has done thus far at Georgia through his 4 years as a head coach, he's going into year five here in 2020, it's produced a level of elite performance that Dan Mullen really doesn't seem to be able to match offensively. Now, we hear all the time, I played the audio for you on yesterday's show, Reese Davis from ESPN saying, this may be the best play caller in all of college football. There may be no one better. But if you look at the last 4 years, two of those spent at Florida, two of those spent at Mississippi State, where is the evidence that Dan Mullen is some sort of brilliant play caller? In 2019, Florida was just third in points per game in the SEC. In 2018, at Florida, they were just fifth. In 2016, 2017, both years spent at Mississippi State, coincided with Kirby Smart's time as a head coach, Mississippi State was just seventh in points scored in both those years. Now, I know what you'll come back and say. Well, come on now, BA, that's Mississippi State. That's lesser talent. Yeah, but here's what you got to realize. In the same Magnolia State, Ole Miss, more points per game in both those years as well. Similar resources, similar access to talent. The supposed offensive genius Dan Mullen, when it comes to points scored, wasn't even scoring more points than Ole Miss in 2016, 2017. Same thing for yards produced. Now, that's not the most perfect stat to mention, but it's an easy stat for everyone to understand. In 2019 for Florida, fourth in the SEC in yards per game. 2018, sixth. Going back to Mississippi State, 7th in 2016, 6th in 2017. Once again, in both those years, Ole Miss was better than Mississippi State in terms of total yards per game. So don't fault this for simply lesser talent. By comparison, let's look at points per game allowed for Kirby Smart defensively. First in the SEC in 2019, just 4th in 2018, but back to 2nd in 2017. And in Smart's first year, in the midst of a talent overhaul in 2016, Georgia was 5th. How about yards allowed? Last 3 years, 2017, 18, and 19, Georgia's either been first or second in the SEC in yards allowed. They were first overall a year ago. So isn't that funny? If you just look at those numbers, if you just kind of highlight that, the guy creating the elite side of the ball has actually been Kirby Smart. But you almost never hear the same level of praise for Smart as a diabolical defensive mastermind as you do for Dan Mullen as an offensive genius, yet the numbers support Kirby Smart building a better defense at the time that he's been a head coach than what Dan Mullen's done over the course of the same period of time with two different programs in terms of dialing up offense. In fact, and this is more intricate details than we have time to get into right now, if you really go back and look at the numbers, Dan Mullen's defense has been better than his offense in almost every single one of these years. Now, Georgia fans have their own opinion about Todd Grantham, but in terms of what's allowed Mullen to be competitive, it's been defense as much as it's been offense. And yet we continue to see Mullen ranked very high on these preseason coaching lists because my assumption here is people just happen to like offense. But no matter, and you already know the bottom line, but I'll say it anyway. No matter how much defense may be overlooked by the average fan who just wants to be entertained by points being scored, by media person who can't help himself but be dazzled by the side of the ball that our inherent biases just tell us is more interesting, defense can still win championships. Now, you can't do it without explosive offense, and Georgia's obviously got to build that up, and that's a different topic for a different day. But in terms of the bedrock for what championship success is built on, go back and look at the last couple of years. LSU better defensively by the end of the year. Obviously, what Clemson did in 2018, what Nick Saban has built at Alabama. In college football, defense still matters. And Georgia has a championship defense going into 2020. And will that ultimately result in a national championship? That remains to be seen. But does it put Georgia thick in the heart of the competition? I think you already know that's true. My name's Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're presented today by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. It is so good to have you with us here today, no matter how you get to us, Facebook, YouTube. We're on the radio on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. Podcast-wise, pretty much just about any way you can listen to a podcast, you can find Dog Nation Daily. I'm always amazed by how many different kinds of platforms people do listen to the show on. I'm just really thankful for technology that makes all that possible, and really, really thankful for my friends at Engineered Solutions of Georgia for making the show possible. This nice, fancy studio that we sit in, the technology to deliver the show to you no matter where you may be, it would not be made available if it wasn't for the generosity of my friends at Engineered Solutions of Georgia. And their generosity is not just shown to us, it's shown to all of you there as well. First of all, ESOG is a proud partner of UGA. That makes it really fun to do business with. Supporting folks who support UGA, that always makes sense. But when it comes to taking generosity to the next level of helping you when you face a foundation or a waterproofing issue, those are serious, serious concerns. I'm talking about the structural integrity of your home. That's something to be aware of, something to be concerned about. Engineered Solutions of Georgia certainly knows how to do that. They got two full-time engineers on staff. These are really smart people. They can help get you on a path towards, you know, fixing the stuff that's broken, you know, keeping the water outside your house, you know, maintaining the, as I said before, the structural integrity of your home. And they're really easy to get in touch with. Very simple number to dial, 678-ESOG now. That's 678-ESOG now. That'll get you in touch with my friends at Engineered Solutions of Georgia. All right, it's Dog Nation Daily presented by ESOG today. It'll be Connor Riley coming up in just a moment. Before that, let me just squeeze this one note in. I'm always really thankful that, and this is one of the things that maybe people who don't connect with Dog Nation Daily every single day don't quite understand. This isn't a news program. I'm not a news anchor. You know, my job is to talk about what's fun and what's interesting. My job is not necessarily to sit here and, you know, spout off the news of the day. That's, you know, what you see at 6 and 11. That's not necessarily what you come to, you know, for us here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. Obviously, to learn more about the news that's out there, you can always go to dognation.com. And unfortunately for UGA today, at least someone who has been connected to the University of Georgia, Pekari Rambo, a former UGA player and recently a UGA staffer, he is facing a rape charge right now. This is obviously a very serious situation. There are details available about this at dognation.com. I have very little to add to this other than the fact that anytime a story like this pops up, it just kind of stinks, right? It's awful. It's very, very sad. I'm only in the midst of learning about this much the same way that you are. I'll be doing the same thing that you're doing. I'll be going to dognation.com to find out more about this as it comes available. So not good news here today, at least in terms of the charge that's out there, the allegation that's out there against Pekari Rambo. We will follow it, see where it goes. The details will be available at dognation.com. In fact, you can read some of that right there. Awkward, clumsy transition, but I'm going to make one nonetheless because today is an important day around Dog Nation. This is the final day to register for your chance to win the great Father's Day giveaway courtesy of our friends at Kroger. Now, the other day, I showed you a really fun picture of my kids and me. You know, one of the very fun things for me is when I go to Athens, I take my kids with me, and it reminds me so much of when my own father or my grandfather was taking me to these Georgia games years ago. It's just kind of fun to think that generational activity's been passed down over and over again. So many of you do the same thing, and we're inviting you to share your picture, your video of you enjoying Georgia Phantom with your kids, or you enjoying Georgia Phantom with your dad, whatever else. And today is the last day to go to dognation.com, submit your video, your photo, and starting tomorrow, voting is going to start taking place for the winner of the Kroger Father's Day giveaway. Someone's going to win a grill. Someone's going to win a $50 gift card. It's all courtesy of our friends at Kroger. You've got one more day to get involved and participate, so please go to dognation.com. Find out more information about that. All right, good to have you with us here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Engineered Solutions of Georgia today. Let's have some fun. Let's break down everything that's been going on with the UGA. Let's do so with our buddy Connor Riley.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Connor Riley always got some good stuff up at DogNation.com. Sometimes it's written, sometimes it's video. He's also good enough to be with us here on Dog Nation Daily during the week there as well. And Connor, there is a lot I want to talk to you about. And I guess let me just offer a little bit of a good morning to you before we kind of dive into that. How you doing? You doing well? We appreciate you being with us.
Always. It is a pleasure to be on with you.
Okay, so I want to talk about some of the stuff that you've written. Let me bring you in, though, on my conversation for the last couple of days, just to get your thought on that just a little bit. First of all, do you agree with what I said yesterday, that the battle line that gets drawn, not just by fans, but by certain factions of the media who want to say Kirby Smart's the better architect of a program, that keeps him well ahead of Dan Mullen compared to the people who want to say Dan Mullen may be the better game coach, eventually he'll surpass Kirby Smart, even though Smart's the better recruiter. Do you agree with the premise that I established yesterday, that one way or another, that argument, the way it's currently defined, it seems hard for me to imagine that survives 2020, just given the stakes that'll be in play when those two programs, those two guys, play each other once again?
Yeah, I think with we'll start with the Kirby Smart side. You know, if they, God forbid, do lose to Florida this offseason, I think there are going to be a lot of hard, serious questions asked about this program and sort of what Kirby especially most likely is doing on the offensive side of the ball, as you laid out today. Like, Georgia defense is always going to be at the very worst good under Kirby Smart. And then looking at it from a Mullen aspect, you know, Georgia, if there were going to be a year where Florida could see where Florida could realistically beat Georgia, it'd be a year where they have a returning quarterback who has a lot of issues on the offensive side of the ball, with sort of a truncated offseason, not necessarily a chance to fully install what that offense will. And if it doesn't happen this year, then you really have to start, I think, asking the question, okay, well, when is this going to be? Because for Florida, well, yes, it's great that you're now beating South Carolina and Tennessee and Missouri every year. That's a program that in the 30, 35 years before Mullen got there, it's been championship robust. And in that time frame, they dominated the Georgia rivalry. As painful as that is to say out loud, it's a reality. And the fact is, if Mullen once again comes up short against Kirby Smart, it's going to be a lot like Peyton Manning, Tennessee versus Florida. It's just never going to happen.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. And listen, I obviously spat off a bunch of hot takes, but for the most part, we don't really run from those. I mean, I'm willing to be called out on what I get wrong. And
Tuners.
And if it's, you know, November 3rd, which I guess is November 3rd, we're coming back in here to work and I'm having to talk about, you know, what happened with Georgia, Florida, or I guess it'd be November 2nd from the Saturday before. I mean, I'll have some crow to eat. I don't believe that Dan Mullen has what it takes to beat Kirby Smart. But if you win the game, then obviously I have to acknowledge that opinion was wrong to some degree. That's what I think that makes the stakes interesting about this game this upcoming season.
Yeah, and you're good about that. And I think for the most part, we've always been on sort of the same page, seeing Dan Mullen in the same light. We're not saying that Dan Mullen is not a good football coach. I think he certainly is that. I think if you drop him at a lot of places in college football, he'd do very well and is able to win. If you're able to win at Mississippi State and win at Florida, those are two very different sort of programs in the way they see themselves. But I think the issue with Mullen is that, you know, at Florida, it's not doing more with less is just not a philosophy that should ever be placed there. It is getting the most with more. You have such a recruiting advantage, such big advantages given where you are in your location of prime talent, that Florida shouldn't be seen as an underdog. They should be seen as a bully. They should be seen as a team that is rolling up, that is physically imposing their will over sort of like Georgia, Alabama, over the quarters. The reality is, under Dan Mullen, Florida just hasn't really done that.
All right, one more on what we've been talking about here, then I want to get to some of the stuff that you've written at DogNation.com. I am firmly of the belief that Kirby Smart's defensive strategy, to use the word I used a little earlier, I'm firmly of the belief that's just as robust as, like, say, Lincoln Riley's offensive stuff is or Dan Mullen's offensive stuff is. People just have a tendency to like offense better, so therefore we treat offensive masterminds as inherently more brilliant than defensive masterminds. But if we sat here and put a chalkboard on this side, let any offensive coach you want go to scribbling and let Kirby Smart do his defensive stuff, you know, Kirby Smart's no meathead here. I think that's one of the things that people have a tendency to overlook is you got to be just as smart to drop the defensive stuff as you do the offensive stuff, even though we have a tendency to think that offensive coaches, by their very nature, are just smarter.
Yeah, defense isn't cool. It's not fun, especially I think now that, you know, the violence that is sort of associated with the game of football has been toned back. It's just not cool to talk about defenses and sort of marvel at how great a defense is. And, you know, that's something I think Kirby Smart is always going to be working against. Whereas, you know, if you look at Oklahoma and Lincoln Riley, the defensive issues, he sort of, I think from a national perception, maybe gets a little bit more of a pass than the offensive issues that Kirby Smart seems to get dinged for. I'm going to write something later this week on sort of how Smart and Riley are sort of viewed in their two schools and how sort of opposite they really are, both just the game planning and even the like way those programs are run. So it's just the reality is defense isn't cool, and it's just, you know, it's harder to get excited, I think, talking about how great a defense is, how it's going to stymie.
All right, one of the things that I look forward to every single year is when Bud Elliott, now at 24/7 Sports, does his blue chip ratio. I just think that this is just good content. And what Elliott's essentially identified, and he's been doing this for a long time, is that national champions have a preponderance of 4- and 5-star talent. Of course, the last 4 years, more 4- and 5-star talent than 2- and 3-star talent. Georgia is now, I said this on Friday's show, if you told me back in 2016 when we were doing this show in a very different, you know, studio, very different kind of look, that one day I'd be sitting here talking about Georgia having 82% of its roster made up of former 4- and 5-star talent, I guess I thought that Georgia would have just taken over the world. I guess I would have thought that Georgia was winning every national championship there is. I said this on Friday. To me, there is some good and some bad in terms of where Georgia sits in the blue chip ratio right now. I know you had your video on this at DogNation.com. For the folks who maybe haven't had a chance to interact with you on this, set us up with your thoughts on where things stand with Georgia and how it rates from a talent perspective.
Yeah, so obviously 82%. The only team that has a higher percent is Alabama at 83%. But, you know, that talent advantage, quote unquote, I think is mitigated a little bit when you compare it to the rest of Georgia's schedule and sort of who they play every year. Florida's on there every season. Auburn's on there every year. They get Alabama out of the West this year. They're playing three out of the 15 blue chip ratio teams. Now, Alabama and LSU are also playing similarly tough schedules, but you look at schools like Clemson and Oklahoma, two teams that, you know, Georgia sort of sees itself on the same sort of platform with. Obviously, I think they're closer to Oklahoma than they are to Clemson at this point, but those schools only play one blue chip ratio team this season. You know, Oklahoma plays Texas and Clemson plays Notre Dame. And while they don't, you know, while Clemson and Oklahoma don't have the same blue chip advantage over teams that Georgia does just on a week-to-week basis, those teams are playing so much weaker schedules that advantage is actually, I think, more significant and more pronounced than it necessarily is for, like, Georgia and Alabama, who signed a high rate of blue chip players. And I think that's somewhat, you know, forces us to say, hey, you know, yes, they do have this so much talent, but it's not exactly the same talent advantage that, say, Ohio State perhaps has over the rest of the Big Ten.
I'm going to date myself with this reference, but here's what this reminds me of. And this has been frustrating for me for a couple of years. It's almost like Georgia's in a video game where if it can beat Mike Tyson in level one, it gets to fight Glass Joe in level two. Yeah. It's like, you know, the big boss is like round one for Georgia, and it gets progressively easier after that. And it's just, to me, the nature of the beast. And this is not whining on my part, because winners aren't whiners. But if there was an 8-team playoff and Georgia could have benefited from being the second SEC team maybe a couple times over the last few years, if Georgia had a chance to play more of these top national teams that have measurably less talent than UGA, I do think the way that we think of Georgia over these last couple of years, even if it didn't win a national championship, I do think the way we think of Georgia would be a little bit different. But when you're only allowed to measure yourself against a team, and listen, I'm so tired of Alabama, but they still reign atop the overall, you know, talent level in the country, when you only kind of measure yourself against that, or I guess in last year's case, an LSU team that exploded offensively, the likes of which we haven't seen before, when you're only measuring yourself against the very best in the SEC, it's easy to think you've accomplished nothing, because measuring how much you have accomplished, unless you actually win the league, it just becomes very difficult to do.
Yeah. Which program do you think the national sort of media or perception is higher on, Oklahoma or?
I think it's Oklahoma, unfairly.
And the reality is, because Georgia usually plays that big SEC juggernaut in the SEC championship game in the last 2 years, they've lost that game. Oklahoma plays them in the first round of the playoff and has actually lost even worse than when playing that big SEC juggernaut in the first round. So, you know, as much as we talk about Oklahoma and mention them among the elite, I believe they've been to 4 out of the 5 playoffs, if I'm doing the math correctly, 5 out of the 6. They've been in all but one of them. They still haven't won a college football playoff game. Mm-hmm. So that tells me that, yes, they're sort of the kings of the Big 12, a weaker, by just comparison, college football conference. But when they have to play the truly elites, the true big boys, they just can't stay on the field.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. And I'm not as big a college basketball fan as I used to be, but this is one area in which I think that college basketball is better than college football. There is a Sweet 16. There is an Elite Eight. There is a Final Four. There is a national champion. And so, therefore, you're able to measure your progress. I'm not saying that college football's tournament should be 64 teams. That's not what I'm saying. But there are levels of success in college basketball that become easier to understand. When you go from being in the tournament to playing in the second weekend of the tournament, you've obviously done something that proves you're better. Unfortunately, Georgia's in a spot right now because of how much talent exists here in the deep south of the country, that you're either the best team in the country or just kind of not in the playoff. And that is a very tough zero-sum game for UGA.
Yeah, again, it's a sport where only one team and one fan base is truly happy. Look at a team like Clemson. You know, they won all but one of their games this year, and their fans were pretty upset. Come the end of the season, you could probably say the same thing for Ohio State, who lost just one time when they took the field this year. And that's just sort of the cruelness or unfairness of college football specifically, because I think you can look at the NFL with the way that playoff structure is set up. You know, if you're a Tennessee Titans fan, you're pretty thrilled with how last year turned out, even with the loss in the AFC Championship game. The Baltimore Ravens, I would say, you know, yes, you lost your first playoff game, but you have reasons to be excited going forward because of the progress you made. In college football, the reality is you just are not afforded that same luxury.
I think you're absolutely right. I think in the NFL, there is a lot more accommodation for success beyond just winning the Super Bowl. Now, you can't be satisfied with that forever, but more than one team in the NFL, I think, will declare themselves as having a good season, whereas the highest level of college football, it's just not necessarily that way. Let me, in the time we have left, shift gears to something else. You've written at DogNation.com. I think this is fun. The most important player at every position group for Georgia, and I want to focus on running back for a moment. You highlight Zamir White. Connor, I'm going to speak as a fan for a moment. What if it's all still true with Zamir? Like, it's a very unusual situation to be this big a fan favorite, and Zamir is a huge one. You pointed that out in your piece. To be as highly regarded as White once was, but now almost totally forgotten. In fact, you know, we made such a big deal about Urban Meyer last week because he's one of the few people in the country that's even still talking about Zamir White. There's so much on a day-to-day basis going on around UGA that sometimes even on this show, we don't talk about him as much as maybe we could. But you know, it's a couple of knee injuries, did not play a ton last year in comparison to some other UGA running backs in previous years. But what if he's still as good as we thought he was? To me, the entire calculus for Georgia is different if that's true.
Yeah, I think in talking to fans and sort of, you know, listening to what people are saying, they still expect the Georgia run game to be pretty good this year, even though you lose DeAndre Swift, you lose 3 starters on the offensive line. And just given, you know, sort of how teams view the defense under Kirby Smart, I think Georgia's always going to have a capable running game and a capable running back. And Zamir White, it's his turn to step up to the plate. And quite frankly, you know, from what people who I listen to and who I trust tell me, as a high school prospect, obviously it was two knee injuries ago. This guy's better than just about everybody. And if he did show in flashes last year, sort of that Nick Chubb freshman year 2014-esque quality where he just doesn't stop. He just keeps running. He'll run over you. He's got enough speed to run away from you. And if he continues to get better and continues to get more confident, and that's the Zamir White we see this year, that, to your point, just changes, I think, the way everything on this offense goes. It opens everything up. Because maybe unlike DeAndre Swift, because of his physical personality, White's going to be able to carry the ball potentially 25, even 30 times if they wanted to. Whereas DeAndre Swift, that was never really an option.
Yeah.
So I think, especially with the way Georgia always wants to play under Kirby Smart, where the reality is they just want to lean on you for four quarters. And by that time that fourth quarter comes, they're just expecting you to give out. White is sort of the perfect running back, I think, to do that, play that sort of style, that like play.
I've said this before, I'll say it again. The byproduct of Joe Brady's passing success at LSU a year ago was a Clyde Edwards-Hilaire season of more than 1,400 yards rushing. People think of Todd Monken as a offensive mind less committed to the running game because he's sort of thought to be connected to the air raid. The truth is, I think the running backs at Georgia are more set up for success in what I believe the Monken offense is going to look like than they would have been last year with a more run-heavy offensive scheme with more emphasis placed on Sam Pittman's offensive line. I truly believe that if the Monken offense looks the way that I think it looks, I think this is a better offense for running back to be a part of.
Right, especially with a guy like Samir, because Georgia, I think they want to spread the ball out probably a little bit more, be a little bit less bully ball and perhaps more flexible and athletic on the offensive line. So you trying your best to pull defenders away from the line of scrimmage, away from the box. And obviously having a more successful pass game allows you to do that. But if that's what ended up happening and teams can only have six guys in the box at a time, Georgia's just gonna take that all day long because they're not going to be able to outplay Georgia's offensive line and bring down Zamir White.
As we get ready to close out our conversation, I want to give you one more topic to kind of weigh in on because I know you've written about the quarterback depth and kind of what's going on with UGA there. You know, I'm still of the belief that all systems go for this upcoming season. I still think this is Jamie Newman's team here in 2020, but obviously the presence of JT Daniels, whenever he's made eligible, is going to be a very interesting storyline. Where are you on the current UGA quarterback depth and all the various scenarios that could play out there?
So it's very clearly a good thing, and I hate even, you know, bringing this scenario up, but it's one I think we do have to grapple with. You know, let's say, you know, they are testing Fridays before game, and a Georgia player tests positive that Friday. They're certainly not playing on Saturday. Having depth this season, I think, is more important than ever. So if JT Daniels is eligible, even if he doesn't win the job and it is still Jamie Newman starting quarterback for Georgia, having a guy that has started double-digit games at a Power 5 level, I think is a huge luxury to have and something not a lot of people do. Whereas you look at Ohio State, you know, Clemson's a little different this year now that they have DJ Uiagalelei coming in. But the reality is a lot of teams just don't have that. So in that aspect, having it is a great thing for Georgia. But the month of August is going to be so key for this offense in terms of just getting on the field, figuring out who's the best quarterback for this job, and sort of sorting out the reps. And if you were trying to divide between four and five guys, whether or not Daniels is eligible or not, that just makes it, I think, all the more difficult for a guy like Jamie Newman, who I think we both think at some point this year is going to play significant roles at that quarterback spot. It just makes it all the more difficult when you're trying to balance those reps to sort of get the most out of the guy who you think is going to be your star.
Here's the other thing, and you know, take coronavirus out of it for a moment. Injuries at quarterback are just a big part of the story in the SEC. For some reason, I don't think they're quite as big a story in the NFL maybe as much anymore, although maybe I'm misremembering. But in the SEC, Jake Fromm became famous because of quarterback injury. Kyle Trask, who's very talked about this offseason, became famous because of a quarterback injury. Tua Tagovailoa, gone in Alabama over the course of the last couple of years, the most talked about aspect of Tua's game was the injuries that he sustained. I mean, in the SEC, teams have not avoided the injury bad luck when it comes to quarterbacks. That's just been a big part of the story in the SEC the last really few years for a multitude of teams.
Yeah, if I'm remembering correctly off the top of my head here, and I wouldn't recommend doing this, I believe Jake Fromm was the only SEC East quarterback last year to start every single game.
You may be right.
And that's just sort of the reality. Football is obviously a very violent game, and with teams dropping back to pass more and more reliance on the pass game, that opens up your quarterback to more hits, more potential hits below the legs. And especially if you're going to be running quarterback more, like Georgia thinks they might be doing this year with Jamie Newman, not even necessarily as a designed aspect, but if he's out there running more than they ran Jake Fromm a year ago, there's the potential that he does get hurt.
All right, very good stuff, Connor. We'll continue to read you at DogNation.com. It's always fun to have you here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, and we'll look forward to chatting with you again very soon.
Yep, as always, it was a great time chatting with you today.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, on Tuesdays, Connor does double duty. You can kind of hear that as he's wrapping up his own thought and also pushing the buttons there as well. He's got, all I have to do is sit here behind this microphone and talk. Connor's doing a lot of different things for us, so we really appreciate him doing that. And before we move on to our SEC Through, let me give a quick shout out here for a second. Let me tell you something I'm a very big believer in. I'm a big believer in practical education. You know, I think about this with my own kids. They're very young. My son's going into third grade. My daughter's about going to kindergarten. But when you start thinking about their educational future and you start thinking about what you want them to learn, I think one of the most important things you want to learn is how to navigate the job market and be a better member of that job market, more productive, whether it be employee, business owner, or whatever else. There is some terrific stuff available from our friends at the Technical College System of Georgia that you can kind of get involved and learn all kinds of good things. Free access to self-paced online learning. I'm talking about topics that make you better at the career that you're setting out, whether it be soft skills or just, you know, things that improve your ability to kind of navigate the job market right there. That's what the Technical College System of Georgia provides. A variety of professional development training options that are available for you that help you make sense of telework, telecommuting, all the things that are out there, business etiquette, stuff like that's really very important. You can do this a couple of different ways. You can search the Technical College System of Georgia and find out all that's there. But probably the easiest way to do all of this is, and I think we have a website we can put on the screen, but if you want to go to dognation.com, there's a link to it right there. So the easiest way to kind of get what you need here, go to dognation.com. If you're watching on video, you can see the website and you can, you know, take a screen grab of that and be on your way. But listen, probably the easiest way to learn more about this, just go to dognation.com, click the link there. That gets you the Technical College System of Georgia. Listen, we're at a time right now in which folks are getting out of school or moving to the next phase of life, and they're kind of wondering, what does the job market look like for me? How can I make it work for me? The skills, the talent, the information that you're able to possess, that's what makes you more marketable today. My friends at the Technical College System of Georgia can help put you on that path. A lot of it's free, by the way. Go to the website, search around, see what goes on there, start that relationship, and make yourself the best possible member of the workforce that you can possibly be, whether it be your own business, work, whatever else. Technical College System of Georgia provides a lot of ways for you to do that. All right, SEC through time. And a lot of this is recruiting related today. Dakota Mitchell is a three-star safety, most recently an LSU commit. He has decommitted from LSU, and Mitchell's kind of put out a new top five. You see it there on your screen. Nice work by the staff to kind of get that done. You do see Georgia on here. I guess the internet says that Florida may lead here. Honestly, and Dakota's probably a good player. If you're an LSU commit, you probably are a good player. You know, Georgia, obviously, fans anyway, would seem to have their attention on James Williams when it comes to that top flight safety situation. That would seem to be Georgia's safety priority. You know, Georgia's at least in the mix here, just given the fact that he was listed as a finalist. Georgia was listed as a finalist from Mitchell, but the online chatter may have Mitchell favoring Florida at the moment. So we'll keep following the story and kind of see where it goes all the way around. Thought this was interesting. Xavier Sory, who's a linebacker prospect that we talk about a pretty good bit. I would say that Georgia is heavily in the mix for Xavier Sory, and Sory has announced that he's going to IMG Academy. Now, this is total speculation on my part. And once again, if you're watching on video, you see that there on your screen. We're obviously living in a very different age when kids are given the Respect My Decision stuff around the high school they're going to be attending for their senior year. But that's where Sory is, going to IMG. And I'm going to speculate out loud for a moment. I feel okay doing this because I'm pretty sure most of you agree with me on this. If you're trying to get a Sory, if you want him at Georgia, I think Georgia fans do. A guy like that at IMG, I would say from a Georgia fan standpoint, it's probably a pretty good thing. Lavasia Carroll there, that's a UJ commit. Georgia's done well, you know, whether it be Nolan Smith, Warren Brinson. You know, Georgia's done well at IMG Academy. Certainly when you have as much talent as IMG has put out, Georgia's not the only program that recruits it well. But as a for instance, I don't think Florida ever gets anybody from IMG Academy. So, you know, there's a certain school or two that seems locked out of IMG there in Bradenton. Georgia has leveraged its relationships there pretty well. Sory is a guy that I'd like to see Georgia get. I was going to say, in terms of handicapping this recruiting, Sory being an IMG for senior year, I, for the most part, take that as pretty good news all the way around. Also, I guess you'll take this as pretty good news there as well. One of the more interesting holdouts in some of the, you know, return to football that you've seen around the SEC has been what has gone on at Vanderbilt. You know, they're the ones you kind of wonder, are they going to be on board with everything? I did see there was an announcement from Vanderbilt here. They are on their way back to campus. Students will be returning there in late August. Like a lot of these schools, I think South Carolina's one, some others have done this. In-person classes will end prior to Thanksgiving as a way of mitigating what might happen coronavirus-wise when the weather turns cold again. But for now, looks like Vanderbilt is on its way back to class, and so that's another sign maybe that hey, football's eventual return, we're well on pace for all of that. I also skipped over a story I meant to do. Let me backtrack here. Once again, I apologize to the folks who are trying to keep up with this on video that I don't always follow the script as well as I could. But Tennessee got a commitment, four-star tight end. This is a real commit. Four-star tight end Hudson Wolf. This is a guy that had a lot of big-time offers. He's from the state of Tennessee. So, listen, no one has had more fun kind of, you know, mocking Tennessee for some of the ways in which its fans have acted like it's on the verge of a national championship because it's gotten a couple of recruiting wins. But if you want to look for an example of Jeremy Pruitt raising the level of that program above where it was before, I think this is kind of probably an example of that. I think the Hudson Wolf, four-star tight end, big-time offer list. You know, Tennessee had lost a lot of in-state battles in recent years. This is an example of a win there. So you'll give the Vols a little bit of credit for that as they get a four-star tight end from in-state. We'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily for a couple of minutes, I want to focus in on Sporting News list of the top SEC coaches for a minute. You know, this is the kind of thing we've been kind of, you know, kicking around. I told you at one point in time we might get more into this before we're done. We'll spend some time doing that right now. And there are a few, I think, pretty interesting storylines that potentially come to a head this upcoming season. And when you see a list like this in the Sporting News, it kind of gives you, you know, the example of that. The first and foremost thing is when you see the top of a list, right, you know, you still see Nick Saban at the top. And this is one of those things that we talked about, I guess it was last week here on the program, that when you think about Georgia going to Alabama in September, we obviously know what's at stake for Kirby Smart on that front. We obviously know that he needs to beat his former boss. You know, he needs to, you know, get over the hump in that big game, put Georgia on the doorstep winning a national championship. The way in which Georgia lost to Alabama in 2017 and again the SEC championship in 2018, regardless of the fact that, you know, Smart has the tie to Bama and these two programs are so intertwined. Scott Cochran coming from Tuscaloosa to Athens led his example of that. There's just a lot of pressure for Smart against this opponent. But when I look at Nick Saban resting on top of the SEC right now, at least according to the Sporting News list, I'm very interested in how precarious that perch seems to me. The guy that's now number two on this list, ahead of Kirby Smart, is Ed Orgeron. And while I'll go back and forth with you on Kirby Smart compared to Dan Mullen, some things like that, the honest truth is I've got no problem with Ed Orgeron being ranked ahead of Kirby Smart right now. Orgeron has decisively won the last two head-to-head matchups between the two coaches, the two programs. Ed Orgeron's the reigning national champion. And if anything, unfortunately, in the race to unseat Nick Saban as the top coach in college football, I just think that for now anyway, Ed Orgeron has at least moved past Kirby Smart for the moment. It's one of the reasons why 2020 is so important for Georgia here right now. But Orgeron being number two on this list, courtesy of the Sporting News, I don't have a problem with that at the moment. And if anything, I think if you're Nick Saban and you've enjoyed this perch at the top of the SEC for such a long time, I think it's fairly obvious that you've got to see Ed Orgeron in your rearview mirror a little bit. And if you're a UGA fan, you hope the idea that Kirby Smart is able to do what Orgeron did a year ago, make the aggressive, bold move. Remember the way that Orgeron at the end of, after having beaten LSU, talked about, or I should say, after having beaten Alabama, talked about how they're going to beat him in recruiting and all this kind of stuff they said. You know, you love the idea of the way that LSU flexed against Alabama a year ago. You hope to see Georgia able to do the same thing here this year. We do think the Sporting News is right, by the way, by ranking Kirby Smart ahead of Dan Mullen. We think this is we've kind of gone over this over the last couple of days when we feel that way. We think that's the accurate ranking here for the moment. But all of these storylines, LSU trying to, you know, remain where it is, Orgeron trying to keep his spot as one of the top coaches in college football, Nick Saban trying to prove that the Alabama dynasty is in the present tense still and not the kind of thing we think about in the college football history books, Kirby Smart trying to prove that he's ready to belong in this list of coaches who've won national championships, and Dan Mullen trying to move his way up into the list of the truly elites of the SEC. There's a lot at stake for all these guys. We look forward to every single season. That's true every single year. But there's something about the storylines that are in place for this year that just seems especially fun for me because a lot of folks who spat a lot of hot takes one way or another will be proven right, proven wrong by the games on the field. And frankly, that's the way it probably should be around here. All right, one more thing on the way out the door. And that is this. As I said earlier, do not forget, today is your last day to sign up for the Kroger Father's Day giveaway. So get your picture, get your photo of your video of you enjoying Father's moments around UGA with your kids, or you with your own dad going to a game, watching a game, just sharing the experience of being a UGA fan. Get that into us. If you go to dognation.com, you can find out more details about that. And then after that, the voting will start tomorrow. Someone's going to be the winner of a gift card courtesy of Kroger, a grill courtesy of Kroger. It's a tremendous giveaway. You can get all of that from our friends at Kroger. But you got to get signed up. Today is the last day to do that. Also, Gator Hater Update. Far from the last day on this. We look forward to watching this climb for many days to come. How about 1,326 days? That's how long it's been since Florida's beaten Georgia. We'll see you tomorrow. Dog Nation Daily, presented by ESOG.